Subject of today's Scratchy Groove Seminar is Dance in America. I'm your instructor, Bill Chambliss. In the next hour, we'll attempt to survey the dance from its aboriginal beginnings through the 1920s, when dancing seems to have risen to a popularity rivaling that of even petting and mahjong, on to the general decline and fall of the dance and its replacement in recent years by unilateral contortions accompanied by electronic megadecibels. Are there any questions? Good, then let's begin at the beginning. Picture, if you will, a land totally devoid of skyscrapers, freeways, and Kmarts. A land where rivers ran clean, where you could drink the water and breathe the air. A land where there were villages of teepees instead of brookside, woodmere, and covered bridge farms. Return with me to those thrilling days of yesteryear. From out of the past comes the sound of what? Dancing. That's dancing. The eagle dance of the Hopi Indians, accompanied by chanting. Did you note the total absence of electronic guitars and saxophones? You see, it is possible to dance with minimal musical accompaniment, and even without laser lights. The Indians did it for years. In fact, in some tribes, they still do it, though they may sell tickets. All right, you say, that's all right for Indians, but what about the settlers? Did they dance? The answer is no, not at first. I can find no evidence that the pilgrims danced at all. For the young people in the audience, perhaps I'd better explain here that Plymouth Rock, which they may have heard of in connection with the pilgrims, was not a dance and had nothing whatever to do with music. And maybe before we go any further, we should define the word dance so we'll all be in step. Step. Little joke there. The word dance means, quote, to perform, either alone or with others, a rhythmic and patterned succession of movements, commonly to music. To move nimbly or merrily, a measured leaping or stepping in unison with music. Unquote. The pilgrims didn't care much for music, and they didn't hold with leaping or stepping, measured or not. As best I've been able to determine, they pretty much confined themselves to going to church. They did plant corn, and they started Thanksgiving, and they told a fellow named John to speak for himself, but there was no record of any dancing. Speaking of records, let's leap ahead to colonial times and listen to a bit of music that people did dance to. They called it the minuet. It isn't much of a dance. It was just shifting from one foot to the other and occasionally touching your partner's elbow. But it was a dance, and it sure beat what the pilgrims did for fun. They got together once in a while and shelled corn. Well, the minuet was about as exciting as dancing got in the early days. But then, thanks in large measure to the Strausses of Austria, dancing got a real shot in the arm. Or was it the leg? along about the beginning of the 19th century. It was called the waltz, and people finally found out that they had feet and could move them. Okay, the minuet was about as exciting as dancing got in the early days. As I said, you're probably thinking that record of the Blue Danube dates back as far as the dance itself. Not true, actually. I got that record at a garage sale just last year. The family had used it as a trivet. Moving right along, we should consider at this point a form of dance that dates so far back it makes your head ache just to think about it. Whereas the waltz was danced pretty much by the upper crust, there was another form of dance that was popular with common, ordinary people, such as farmers, blacksmiths, and Democrats.
Going hands and circle the valve and a little sunshine in your mouth. Halfway around and back, single file, Indian style with a lady in the lead. Come back home and everybody swing. Pal, the man left to the old left, hand the back to your partner, right and left grand. Whirl them high and whirl them low, and to keep on whirling that calico, and to meet your honey with a great big smile, and promenade, promenade, a mile gents run wild. First couple balance swing, and to come right out to the right of the ring with the four hands round. Leave that lady and go on to the next with the three hands round. Steal that lady and go on to the next with the four hands round. Leave that lady and go on along. Fall back three. Two gents to the center with a little do-si and a right hand over and a left hand under. Forward three and a three fall back. Two gents do-si on the inside track and a right hand over and a left hand under. Forward three and a fall back three. Two gents to the center with a little do-si and a right hand over and a left hand under. Forward three and three fall back. Two gents do-si on the inside track and a right hand over and a left hand under. There she is now, swing like thunder.
Well, the square dance, of course. Still popular today, though you don't find it much at country clubs or the best hotels. And then came ragtime. Thank you. Scott Joplin's Ragtime Dance. Ragtime, a mixture of regular and irregular rhythms with an rather earthy origin, was born around the turn of the century, but it grew up fast, about 1906, and it had taken the country by storm. Here, for the first time, was a dance that was uninhibited and not in the least genteel. In fact, the minuetting and waltzing set was appalled by it. And maybe that's why it swept the country. Which brings us to a basic fact about dancing through the years. It's more fun if it shocks people. Dancing, then, is a means of testing the limits, breaking yesterday's molds. In this sense, dancing is a factor in today's advance of society, and has been all along. Or retreat, depending on your point of view, and maybe on your age. By and large, dancing is for young people, like music today, or what passes for music. And of course, it's always been like that. Remember when swing, for Pete's sake, was decried as a work of the devil? I do. Okay, here's Sophie Tucker to sing about a dance that caused a lot of parents to yell at their dancing youngsters way back in 1909. The Grizzly Bear.
Out in San Francisco, where the weather's fair, they've got a dance out there they call the Grizzly Bear. All your other loving dances can't compare. Not so spoony, but a little more than coony. Talk about your bears that Teddy Roosevelt shot. They can't compare with what old San Francisco's got. Listen, my honeydew, and I'll show to you the dance of the Grizzly Bear. Hug up close to your baby. Throw your shoulders towards the sky. Lordy, what a feeling. Hug up close to your baby. If you do that dance in heaven, shoot me on the night at 7. Hug up close to your baby. Sway me everywhere. You go to Buffalo, doing the grizzly, doing the grizzly, doing the grizzly bear.
That's Sophie. Now let's turn briefly to the ethnic side of American dance. The last years of the 1800s and the first couple of decades of this century saw unprecedented immigration, and the immigrants brought with them their native music and dances, of course. All we have time for is a tiny sample. Here, in turn, the Irish, the Jewish, the German, and the Polish. Which brings us to the 1920s. The dancing 1920s. That's when the dance in America really came into its own. When dance bands sprang up like demented mushrooms. When dancing shoes outsold work shoes. When young men and women off the farm and in the cities discovered independence and booze and cigarettes and each other. And dancing was a way to express it all. It started calmly enough. But then the tempo picked up. Here's what was considered a hot number back in 1921, Irving Berlin's Everybody Step, played by Paul Whiteman. That was a pretty hot number for 1921, as I said, but then came the Charleston. Actually, the Charleston was written before 1920, but it was revived with a vengeance early in the 1920s. Let's have three numbers now in a row. These are three of the most popular dances of the 20s. The Charleston, Paul Whiteman's Orchestra, 1923. Black Bottom by Johnny Hamp's Kentucky Serenaders, 1926. And the Varsity Drag with Cass Hagen and his Park Central Hotel Orchestra from 1927. First, the Charleston. Thank you.
rag. See how it goes, down on the heel, up on the toes. That's the way to do the varsity drag. V-A-R-C-I-T-Y, hotter than hot, newer than new, meaner than mean, bluer than blue. Get that much applause as waving the flag, waving the grand old flag. You can pass many a class, whether you're dumb or wise, if you all answer the call when your professor cries. Everybody down on the heel, up on the toes, stay after school, learn how it goes. Everybody do the varsity drag, the varsity drag.
Okay, we had the Charleston, Paul Whiteman, 1923, Black Bottom, Johnny Hamp's Kentucky Serenaders, 1926, and the Varsity Drag by Cass Hagen's Park Central Orchestra, 1927. These were three of the most popular dances of the 20s, as I said, but there were dozens, maybe hundreds of others. Something like the Turkey Trot, the Bunny Hug, the Gotham Gobble, the Humpback Rag, Lover's Walk, the Shiver, the Castle Walk, the Lindy Hop, and on and on and on. I want to play four more now that I particularly like. First, the Whiteman Stomp. Don't know whether anybody ever danced to this or not, but he thought they did. Paul Whiteman, 1927. Followed by Doing the Raccoon, George Olson, 1928. Dancing Shadows, Ernie Golden and his Hotel McAlpin Orchestra, 1928. And Borneo, Oresti and his Queensland Orchestra, vocal by Bert Dixon, 1928. First, the Whiteman Stomp. You to dance to that. Defy you.
Third down, 10 to go.
Come on, boys, snap into it. Signals,
31, 69, 84, hike! Do it, ask call raccoon. It's the craze nowadays, and it will get you soon. Buy a coat and try it, I'll bet you'll be a riot. It's a wow, learn to do it right now.
Highbrow, lowbrow, intermediate, make believe they're all collegiate soon. To do the raccoon. Raccoon coats don't care who's wearing them. Hall room boys will all be sharing them soon. To do the raccoon. Every day its popularity grows. It's the most important item in clothes. $10 down and though it scratches you, wear it till the sheriff catches you soon. To do the raccoon.
Oh, they wear 'em down at Princeton, and they share 'em up at Yale. They eat in them at Harvard, but they sleep in them in jail.
They store 'em at Ohio, they're hocked at Notre Dame. They carry 'em at California,
but they wear out just the same.
They're made of rabbit, at Vassar sex appeal, at Nebraska made of Airedale,
in Chicago lined with steel. From every college campus comes a cheer.
Oy-oy!
The season for the raccoon coat is here.
My boy!
Rough guys, tough guys, men of dignity, join the raccoon coat fraternity soon. To do the raccoon. Rich men, poor men, all have pride in them. No one knows who walks inside of them soon. To do the raccoon. Every day you'll have your downs and your ups. Hi-ho. Every day those raccoon goes will have fumps. I know. Get a girl and start to hurry or ride downtown to some big furrier soon. You'll do the raccoon. Rap, rap, rap.
Borneo, there's a wild dance called the Borneo, way down on Borneo Bay. Even though you've got a corneo, you'll dance till the break of dawn, yo, right down on Borneo Bay. Wild man Sam with his clothes all corneo, toot 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 on his bamboo horneo, and the bamboo babies start to sway. When you see them do that Borneo, you'll just put your jewels in Borneo, way down on Borneo Bay.
Okay, we heard on that set the White One Stomp, Doing the Raccoon, Dancing Shadows, and Borneo. Dancing tonight on Scratchy Grooves, sort of a capsule history of the dance. Dance in America. When Rudolph Valentino danced the tango in a silent movie called Blood and Sand in 1922, the chiropractic business quadrupled. Everybody, it seemed, wanted to tango. And to tango involves bending over your lady, dancing partner, while supporting her full weight as she melts backwards in your arms. All through the 20s, for dancers skilled and athletic enough to try it, the tango was a cat's pajamas, the bee's knees. It still excites adventurous dancers today, perhaps because of the challenge it presents to one's lumbar vertebrae. Dancers enjoy living in the thin edge. Here's a lush arrangement of Jealousy, the Tango of Love. Thank you. Jealousy, the tango. Now we come to the tap dance, which defies analysis. Just why an agile individual with steel plates on his shoes making noises like bursts of machine gun fire elicits admiration and applause is impossible to say. Maybe because it looks easy. It isn't. But throughout the 20s and 30s, hundreds of dancers tapped their way to fame and fortune, relatively anyway, on the stage and in the movies. And none of them were better than this man, Bill Robinson.
Listen, good folks, it isn't alcohol, no y'all a gal at all. Thrill me with the pep I've got. I got a pair of feet that have found that low-down beat. Low-down, down around the spot that's hot. Have no peace, losing my lease on living. Here's the how I'm telling you now to give in. Make them play that crazy thing again. I got to do that lazy swing again. Hi-ho, doing the new low-down. Got my feet to misbehaving now. Got a soul that's not for saving now. Hi-ho, doing the new low-down. That dancing demon, he has my feet in a trance. Cause when I'm dreaming, folks, I go right into that dance. Once you hear that haunting strain to it, I bet my life you'll go insane to it. Hi-ho, doing the new low-down.
Robinson was a big hit in the movie, so of course the producers got to thinking if one dancer is good, two dancers are better. This led to the most successful movie dance team of all, Fred and Ginger. Here are the two of them with four, count them, 4 feet. Fred and Ginger. Well, two dancers sold a lot of tickets, so that ushered in the spectacular but brief era of a whole gang of dancers, all hoofing away in kaleidoscopic patterns dreamed up by the feverish brain of Busby Berkeley. Here's a brief sample from the movie Dames with Dick Powell. Okay, Dick Powell, an excerpt from the movie Dames. Now, tap dancing continued apace, but then the nation discovered it was possible to dance and smooch at the same time. Fred Astaire showed us how in this number from Top Hat.
Heaven, I'm in heaven, and my heart beats so that I can hardly speak. And I seem to find the happiness I seek when we're out together dancing cheek to cheek. Heaven, I'm in heaven, and the cares that hung around me through the week seem to vanish like a gambler's lucky streak. When we're out together dancing cheek to cheek. Oh, I love to climb a mountain and to reach the highest peak. But it doesn't thrill me half as much as dancing cheek to cheek. Oh, I love to go out fishing in a river or a creek. But I don't enjoy it half as much as dancing cheek to cheek. Dance with me, I want my arm about you. The charm about you will carry me through to heaven. I'm in heaven, and my heart beats so that I can hardly speak. And I seem to find the happiness I seek when we're out together dancing cheek to cheek. Thank you.
Well, tap dancing continued apace, but then the nation discovered it was possible to dance and smooch at the same time, and that's cheek to cheek. In the 1930s, Hollywood studios turned out hundreds of singing dancing movies. Most of them were awful, but they took our minds off the depression for a little while and maybe helped keep us sane. Out of work, hungry, pay your dime at the box office and go into your dance and your fantasy. All this movie dancing had to lead somewhere, and it did. In the mid-30s, swing came in like a house of fire, and with it, all sorts of new dances. But we're about out of time, so maybe I'll cover that in a later program. At the beginning of the program, that dancing declined in recent years. Recent to me, maybe not to you. I mean the 1940s. That's when the decline started. Curiously, it was dance bands themselves that did it. They became too good. So good that people started listening to them instead of dancing. At least that was one factor. Then came the decline of the bands themselves and the rise of the electronic noise you hear today. And before you knew it, there was a disco phenomenon, sort of a last gasp, and dancing, as we knew it, became a thing of the past. Those bright patent leather dancing shoes were thrown out or relegated to the attic. Now all we have left are the memories, and fortunately, some of the music. Meanwhile, back on the reservation.
We are in the open.